is Digital Marketer. Welcome to the show. Today, we've got a great interview with Russ Perry, who is the founder of Design Pickle.
Hello, hello. We got an awesome interview here for you, none other than Mr. Russ Perry. If you don't know Russ, he's the CEO and founder of Design Pickle. With his business acumen and leadership, Russ has managed to scale his companies from 2 to 200 employees, thousands of clients, and over 10 million in ARR. If you don't know, that's pretty good. And also more recently, Russ has been focused on mentoring a lot of other entrepreneurs to level up their lives. He also hosts the Russ Perry Show and co-hosts the Good to Be Home podcast. So make sure to go check those out. I've listened to them myself. They're pretty great. And then he's also the author of a book titled The Sober Entrepreneur, another book that I have read and can confirm it is good. It's a quick read too, so pick it up. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Russ Perry. How you doing, man?
You.
All right. We're going to be talking a lot today about your entrepreneurial journey, about some of the road bumps that you've hit, some of the milestones that you've hit, in general, prepping the audience and the viewers at home into, you know, some of the insight that you have as an entrepreneur and how to overcome some of those challenges. So to kind of kick things off, can you take us back to the beginning and take us back to your first step out as an entrepreneur?
Well, I found myself early age a really good reader. So that was actually one of my first failed businesses, was to get paid to read to people.
Okay.
But I didn't know that was like most people can read that have money, at least where I was growing up. So fast forward, actually, I would say my next entrepreneurial sprint wasn't until after college.
Okay.
And I had leveraged my knowledge of visual design in the Apple store. I was working as a creative, and I found out a lot of people that I was teaching how to use these computers didn't actually know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it would be way easier if I just did it for them. And a lot of that had to do with design. They were trying to like create things for their businesses. They were trying to design flyers. And
yeah.
So I started a little side hustle out of the Arizona Biltmore Apple store, like getting cards, getting information, probably against Apple terms of service for working there.
Yeah, of course.
And starting with like basically my first freelance design business.
Definitely. What was that process like, kind of scaling that up and getting it to a point
where... It was kind of a show. It was a horrible business, to be honest. Like my lead dried up real fast as soon as I quit Apple.
Okay.
And then from there, I thought, well, I'm going to try to, you know, get a job somewhere. And I worked at a couple agencies and was young and naive and just like thought I could do it better at that time.
Yeah.
A tangential life story was I had a daughter at this age too, at 22, kind of right as I'm figuring it all out.
Yeah.
And learned the hard knock life of paid time off requests, which were like horrible as a young dad to have to file these things. And so I said, well, what should I do? I have a kid. I'm really not employed. I'll start my own agency.
Yeah.
And so launched that early on. And
okay.
Just was a real tough challenge. I mean, scaling, marketing, all the stuff that you can learn here just didn't exist in the early 2000s, at least in my realm. So I just sold and hustled and sold and hustled, but never had a system of fulfillment. We weren't dialed into any specific creative service. So as long as you had money, I was like, yeah, Garrett, dude, we could work for you. What do you need?
Of course.
You tell me what you need first. And then of course we could do that.
Right.
Which was an impossible business to grow because every project, every client was a one-off.
Yeah.
So if something went great, you didn't know why. And if something went terrible, you didn't know why.
Makes a lot of sense. So, you know, through that show of an experience.
Yeah.
What are some of those biggest lessons that you've kind of taken from that and that you still apply to your business today?
So, you know, 2014 was a year that, like, I'll never forget. Married at this point, have kids, and we lost all of our clients from the agency. We're talking over $1 million of aggregate sold revenue, booked, contracted revenue that we had coming in. At this stage, we are a HubSpot reseller. And HubSpot, if anyone sold HubSpot, it's like really easy to sell HubSpot. It's not as easy to fulfill on HubSpot. So all of it came crashing down, lost all of our big accounts. And I found myself at a crossroad where I was just like, what am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And how do I create a business that doesn't do that? And so all of the like no process, no system, no specialty, nothing. I basically took all of that and decided I wanted to do the opposite. So how could I do something that's simple, focused, a repeatable process, I don't have to explain it really. Mm-hmm. And that was the other thing. When we had the agency, I don't even think at the time, I don't know, my wife's here in the front row. I don't think she knew what we did really. No one in my family knew. Like, Russ is this company, but we're not sure. So I really wanted to narrow and get specific and niche. And okay. to me, that was the, like, all of that pain and the, like, messing up allowed me to find out what are the real specific attributes in my business I wanted to have. And I picked those things first and then started to experiment around what a business could be built on top of those.
Definitely. So that led you up to starting Design Pickle.
Right.
Is there a lot in between there?
There was like an experiment business phase, kind of okay. like a wandering phase, not sure what I'm going to do. I was a consultant at the time. So like a consultant is kind of an unemployed entrepreneur, like out there just like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm going to consult. I thought maybe I was going to go into like maybe large format printing. That was a brief thing.
Okay.
I tried inventing a children's product only to get to the point of like, I don't know a clue. I don't have a clue about manufacturing. I've never made anything.
Yeah.
And like, that's like a really big industry.
Uh-huh.
But eventually what happened out of the consultancy is that the clients, I had cobbled together an automated system of fulfillment for basic graphic design. So just the day-to-day stuff. And that was working really well. And so, like I mentioned, I had this sort of this prerequisite of like, if I had the perfect business, here's what it was going to be. And then this function of my consultancy was like starting to work and work better than anything I had done before. And I one day just kind of looked at the two and I was like, hey, this thing, AKA this kind of production design system, really matches up well with this list that I made, you know, about a half a year earlier.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, no joke, an aha moment. I read the book 7-Day Startup by Dan Norris, which is a real good book to get started on a new business idea. He had a productized WordPress service site. They subsequently, him and his partner sold to GoDaddy. So like what they were doing with WordPress updates, I was kind of doing with design and read this book, had this prerequisite. And then it was like, I like pickles. So designpickle.com is available. Now I have a company.
Amazing.
So that's how I got branded. Amazing.
So you've been able to scale that up from 2 to 200 plus employees now?
Yeah, about 230 that I last checked.
Congrats.
Thank you.
That's big. And over 10 million in ARR. I mean, first of all, let's just kind of start from the beginning. I mean, what really led you to land on, I mean, we talked about, you know, kind of this idea of, you know, you had this list and you had this idea, but, you know, what was the basis for starting the company? What problem did you fix with Design Pickle?
It was my own problem. So when I lost the agency, when I closed my agency, we're about a $3 million agency. And I actually did have a team in Argentina. We had worked with a company in Buenos Aires and we'd partnered. So I had already had experience outsourcing design and working with other teams, but that business model never worked out. So I moved in the consultancy and I needed I hadn't used design Adobe products for years and I sucked. Like even designing a business card was really hard.
Yeah.
And because I wasn't sure, like what's modern, how do I figure it out? So I immediately got a contractor, like and a designer, but it was to scratch my own itch because the agencies were too expensive. My friends that did design, like didn't want to do Facebook ads all day long. And so I scratched my own itch. And then I just sort of found that the clients were really happy. I mean, in building the business was a guess of, hey, it's working for me and it's helping my clients. And then I'm getting like, Garrett, I never got a thank you in almost 8 years of running the agency ever. Like I would hustle. We would do like $250,000 branding projects. We had to be at Dreamforce, the biggest trade shows in the world. And it would be like one graphic on the slide is wrong. You suck. We're going to fire you. And then here I was. After closing that, and my clients are like, dude, those business cards, you got done real fast. Thanks. And it was like such validation. Like I was a starving child for attention. But I was like, hey, maybe I'm onto it. And then I looked at just the sheer market size.
Yeah.
That was another thing I wanted to make sure I didn't do was pick a niche market. When you're selling HubSpot or you're selling a tech stack, you know, you not only have to convince people to use it, but then you have to get narrow so that you're standing out from all the other people. When I picked design, it was like, who in the audience have used design ever in your career? Raise your hand. Yeah, like everyone. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're just being lazy. Does not raise your hand. Like everyone. So that was another thing, was just like purposefully picking a large market.
Yeah.
That was simple. I don't have to sell it at all. And that ended up working for us in the long run as we've grown.
Definitely. So as you started to grow, I mean, what was that growth trajectory for you? And how did you kind of manage that to get to where you are today?
It was tough. You know, we just celebrated our 4-year birthday in January.
Congrats.
We're on our 5th year. And I'll bump into clients. We've been doing trade shows since the beginning. And I'll bump into like old year 1, year 2 clients. And yeah. I'm just kind of like, hey, man, you should come back and try us now. Like, I'm real sorry for that rough patch of time that you had, because we didn't have software. I mean, there was a time early on, like the first 8 months, we just had an inbox, like an email. Like, if you knew the email, you didn't even need a subscription, because you could just like send in requests and totally hack the system. So we had a real janky, jerry-rigged system, and growth was tough because at the end of the day, we're a managed service. We like to market ourselves like a software. There's lots of software, but we're a managed service. You're getting a service in a very controlled experience kind of way. So like today or this week, we're exhibiting, we'll probably add maybe 100 accounts through the whole experience, but we couldn't add 1,000. Mm-hmm. And that made it really tough early on with bandwidth and growth.
Right.
So recruiting was a really tough thing too. Finding designers to fit our culture and to fit our style. But a lot of it came down to radically honest communication with the clients.
Okay.
Like if it was a show behind the scenes, we'd send out an email like, hey, the pickle jar is broken. Like, please bear with us right now as
That's
we're
good.
Trying to fix this.
Yeah.
And that built trust in the audience for sure.
Totally.
And our clients. And we've had clients through the thick and thin. And then we've had people come back and they're like, yeah, wow, it's a lot better.
Yeah.
But it was just perseverance, clarity in what really is happening, never trying to pretend like if there's a problem, not trying to hide from it. And that was also a big difference between Design Pickle and my agency days, is when I had my agency days, like if there was a problem, it would be like, shh, don't tell the client. Like, okay, how are we going to fix this without them knowing?
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, we broke the app. Sorry. Like, you know, here's a backup plan to figure it out in the meantime. And that's liberating as an entrepreneur.
Do you get good feedback from stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and there's always when you have thousands of clients, there's the bell curve of just, you have like the jerks that will never be happy for anything, but everyone else are like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
And like you experience brand experiences and they're like, yeah, we made this mistake. Here's what it is. Here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It actually builds trust.
No doubt. All right. Leading 230 employees, no easy task. Can you kind of walk us through some of the ways that you've been able to grow as a leader and grow as an entrepreneur in managing that amount of employees?
So a podcast that I listened to early on, it's a bit older, I highly recommend it, is Startup School. I think it's by Y Combinator. They did it's like a fixed series. So it was only, you know, a dozen or so podcast episodes. But I started listening to that before the concept, and I studied a lot about how they would scale and build teams. So from day one, actually, my first hire was not a designer. It was a project manager. So from day one, I was always like, how do I make sure, now that I get a new lease on my entrepreneurial life, that I'm never actually doing the work? And that wasn't like a cop-out laziness decision. It was to make sure that even when we had two employees, the first two, a designer and a project manager, that I was always focused on running the business. And of course, there would always be days where I'm figuring out something, links are broken, whatever, taking out the trash, which I still do today. But it was like this mindset. And that has allowed us to grow in a very structured way to allow there to be clear roles, clear accountability. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of our friends in the front row, Trainual founder, Chris Ronzio, we've been using his software for a long time to document all of our stuff. I mean, I was documenting processes when there was no one to run them but me.
Yeah.
And it was this continual reminder that I want to have a bigger company one day. I want to grow. And it was a total mindset shift from, again, the chaotic agency days.
Yeah.
So managing people became more do the role, document the role, find then a great person from a cultural fit to run it. They don't need experience because you have it all documented.
Yeah.
And we've always promoted from within.
That's
and
great.
That's been a huge benefit of our growth too, is by the time we bring people up and we put them into their roles, They know our culture. They know our values. They've been in the trenches of either a design role, which everyone on the design side starts as a designer, mm-hmm. or on our like more ops side, everyone starts as our account manager, where you're working with clients for all of like the hard stuff.
Yeah.
Like pissed off client, you work with pissed off clients for a few weeks, you get a real understanding of what we do. My password doesn't work. My designer doesn't read minds. I'm angry about that, mm-hmm. which we're still working on figuring out a way to yeah. introduce mind reading into our service, but
It'll come.
Highly requested feature.
Yeah, no doubt.
But the management became almost natural because our growth was real like steps in that sense.
Yeah.
Now we need this role. Now, hey, we need this team times two. And this team has the same training as this team. And then just growing from there.
No doubt. Actually, at Digital Marketer, one of our core values is document and share your knowledge.
Oh, really?
And it's for the same reason, you know, just this idea of documenting and sharing your knowledge allows other people to come in and do the same things that you're doing, and it allows you to move on to other things.
Right.
And when we talked a couple of weeks ago, you were talking about eventually getting to a point of effectively systematizing yourself out of your own business.
Right.
So can you dive into that concept a little bit?
Well, I'd say some days I've successfully done that.
Okay.
And then other days I like peek back in at what's going on and I'm like, gosh. I gotta get, no. So where I look at my role now is it's like the engine's built, the engine's run. Now I'm like the R&D department.
Okay.
You know, how can we improve this? What new avenues can we choose? But if I literally unplug for a month or so, like everything will run right. without us. And all of that came down to just always believing that I am not the business. I'm the facilitator of the business. I'm the engineer of the business, but the business needs to run itself.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of ego that I had to let go of because when I had my agency, I was the business. I was the man. Like I did the work. I had the ideas. I sold the contracts.
Yeah.
Like I did the dinners and all of that. And, you know, now like we make the brand, the company, the brand. So being able to do that is... It works, but it also doesn't work because you're still, as the founder, the visionary. Yeah. And that's what pushes us every time. So I took a lot more time off than I normally did. Not off of work, but I traveled a lot last year. I worked on some training and like coaching programs yeah. that I had done. And those were very successful, but there was a one-to-one correlation to missed growth expectations on Design Pickle and this time and attention over here.
Yeah.
So for 2019, I decided, you know what? I got to get refocused on it. We have some big growth goals. And it really showed that even though it runs itself, it's not going to grow by itself. And that's the role of that founder, entrepreneur,
yeah.
visionary, whatever the role might be.
No doubt. So all of this sounds like you stay pretty busy. yeah. You know, you've got multiple successful businesses. You've got a beautiful family as well. As an entrepreneur, how do you balance life at home, life at work, in your business? You know, I talked with Armand and Chad from Project Eva today, and they were talking about kind of flow in your life, you know, yeah. balancing the work and, you know, time at home. And how do you maintain that? How do you keep that healthy in your own life?
So if you're curious of what I did terribly, you can go check out the book Sober Entrepreneur about like addiction, affair, drugs, abuse, all of that. So that's when I wasn't balancing things really well.
Yeah.
And I'd say to answer your question, and during that phase of my life, I was putting the business first. And I was like, I had this if-then scenario that I would run in my mind, especially as a younger entrepreneur. If I can make the business successful, then I can have that balance later on. Mm-hmm. If we have the scale, if we have the profits, then I can take the trip, spend time with the kids, do all of that.
Right.
And what ended up happening is I poured so much energy into that to a destructive point, where I was then stressed and drinking and doing all this other stuff that there was like nothing. It was fumes left over for home and life and everything outside of it.
Right.
So, you know, I had a bottoming out a couple years prior to launching Design Pickle and was able to sort through that, get clear. But then again, I realized that like great businesses are built on strong foundations. And so I made a very, very clear effort to, again, outline like the business I will have before the concept was created would allow me to do things like travel with my family, mm-hmm. would allow me to do things like spend a weekend, you know, offline,
yeah.
you know, not checking my email on the weekend, which was this like foreign concept for a long time.
Yeah.
And so it was a conscious choice, again, at the beginning to ensure that the core values of balance were there. And I've been very diligent about protecting that as we've grown.
Okay.
So my company, you know, we have our headquarters in Scottsdale about a mile from my house. And my kids will be there frequently. You know, my wife has an office for her businesses. Like, it's very integrated in that. And yeah, I can make the rules, but that's the value for all the team members that work out of there.
Yeah.
So we really put that as a focus. And, you know, we have, you know, even from our international team, which technically are international, you know, taxation, they're contractors, but they work for us full time under our other legal entities. Like, they have full benefits. And the model of how we deliver design originally was so that our team members in the Philippines didn't have to work graveyard shifts, mm-hmm. because that shatters families that are up all night working for U.S. companies on U.S. business hours. And then they're, you know, moms and dads that are just fried during the daytime.
Yeah.
So all of that was, like, again, a conscious choice. And now I practice, like, pretty regimented daily habits that focus on things like wellness, like meditation, you know, green smoothies, exercise. And I never losing sight of that. Like, yeah. I'm always focused on that, even as crazy and as busy as it gets.
And that was kind of my next question is, you know, looking at, you know, in the past where, you know, you maybe turned to alcohol or other substances to kind of manage with the pressures of being an entrepreneur and running your businesses and trying to achieve growth as we all are. How have you kind of replaced that now in your life as you're running your businesses? What things are you doing that are working really well to manage that stress, manage that pressure?
So, yeah, I mean, having to find a different outlet for managing stress was a critical year and a half of my life, because you're right. I would go to alcohol to sort of, like, relax or let loose.
Yeah.
But as you can imagine, even though my agencies didn't ultimately succeed, as they grow and more clients and more pressure and more deal size and larger accounts, well, then guess what I'm having to do to, like, manage that stress? It was like one drink here, two drinks here, you know, drink on Tuesday, drink on Wednesday and Tuesday, and it grows and grows.
Right.
So, but what most people don't realize is when you pull out that from your life, there's still, like, a gap. And if you're not careful, that can be filled by something else that's unhealthy. That could be filled by another substance or addiction. It could be filled by food, pornography, a business that sucks, and you're addicted to that, thinking that you're somehow going to make it work. So I consciously put in, you know, physical exercise. I put in meditation. I actually sought out personal development programs and training and coaching that were life-based. You know, like, I can get enough business coaching. I mean, you could go to this conference and be set for, like, several years,
yeah,
in terms of business conference or business content. But where was the content around, you know, how to be a good dad, how to be a good entrepreneur and a parent or a father? So I went out and sought out those types of programs, and they worked tremendously.
Yeah.
And back to our earlier conversation, I realized that the stronger my foundation got outside of the business, the more I was dealing with stress with a tough workout or meditating or doing this one thing that guys don't do very good, which is actually, like, talking about your stress, which now I'm pretty good about it, talking about it and letting it out and not just carrying it on the inside. That ended up creating this rock solid foundation to where then when the stresses of design pickle, 10 clients, 20 clients, 200 clients, 1,000 clients, 2,000 clients start stacking up, that foundation is still stable and strong.
Yeah.
So it was a conscious effort, and to each their own. You know, I found a program called Warrior through Wake Up Warrior. I'm a certified trainer there. And I teach, that's what I was doing with teaching people on it. But there's also, I mean, there's dozens and dozens of them. I didn't realize early on in my career that, hey, really successful entrepreneurs also are really successful in the other areas of their life, sometimes first.
Yeah.
And they're not chasing the dollars first, they're chasing the life balance first.
No doubt. So based on all that, and you being comfortable enough to talk in front of a group of people about this and be open and honest and transparent, I have to imagine that at Design Pickle, you're a very transparent company.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
So why do you value that transparency so much?
One thing that people, especially in Western society, probably even more globally, is they suck at confrontation. And I sucked for a long time. Yeah.
Yep.
And so there's a funny story that, again, my wife can attest to, where I would go to a restaurant and I would get the wrong order, old version of Russ. I'd get the wrong order and I was like, I ordered steak and they served me chicken or some or other combination of that. And I'd be like, ah, whatever, I'll eat it. Like, doesn't matter. I don't want to interrupt. I don't want to like rub the wrong feathers of the server.
Yep.
And my wife would be like, you paid for this meal. You got the wrong thing. Just send it back. Like, it's very clear transaction. That's not computing. I'm like, no, I don't want to make it. Don't make a big scene. Like, I don't want to deal with this. And she'd be like, I'll do it. Like, hey, server. And I'd be all embarrassed. And like these scripts would run through my mind. Like, they're going to spit in my food. Like, this is like, they've had a bad day and I'm making their bad day worse. And of course, through like thousands of dollars of personal development training, tens of thousands of dollars, I realized the solution is just ask for the right thing. Like, and that the example is like a micro conflict. And what the example I give is, though, like, if you're not willing to conflict and to collide with someone, whether it's, hey, my order's wrong, or hey, you're doing an awful job on generating leads. This sucks. Like, these leads are shit leads. And yeah, we use that kind of language at Design Pickle. There's no gap that's created for change to occur.
Hey, DM listeners. If you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and three unique design themes for each holiday. The Promo Pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.